Listen, there's a lot to learn when growing and scaling your business.
That's why we created the Business Choreography Podcast, where we talk about choreographing your marketing, operations, and sales into dynamic systems that increase your revenue and your impact.
We'll explore solid business principles and discuss all things that make businesses dance to success with clarity.
We'll help you figure out where the holes are in your business and what you can do to fix them. Think of us as your official business choreographers, aka your insider growth strategists.
Remember, your choreography matters. Welcome to the Business Choreography Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Michael Johnson here, and I'm excited you're here on the Business Choreography Podcast because today we have a very special guest. We are here to talk about the planning and composition of the parts and pieces of business that make up the experience you deliver to your audience, your team, and you. And to help us do that today, talking about their expertise and their specialty is Curtis May. Curtis is the creator and owner of Practical Wealth Advisors and a host of the Practical Wealth Show podcast. The primary focus of his financial planning firm is to help individuals and families become financially free by following the principles of wealth creation that have endured for centuries around the world. Curtis teaches people that their number one financial asset is their knowledge, and we are going to be the beneficiaries of that today. So without further ado, let's bring Curtis on the stage and see how he's doing. Curtis, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited. Let's go. Let's talk about the dance of business. I love that.
The dance of business. I love that. I love that. Yeah, we're going to have some fun today. We are, we like to just play it a little bit more entertaining than usual. So we want to do some fun things. We're going to run the first segment and I'll let you get kind of an idea of what it's about. And then we'll jump back in and we'll get going. Here we go.
Choreo Confessions, the unscripted reality, where we talk about choreography that fell apart or just didn't work, and we want to know why.
All right, here we go. Choreo Confessions, right? This is a lot of fun. We really are going to talk about some of the choreography in business that fell apart. You know, it's always fun to talk about the things that are amazing, but I think for us entrepreneurs out in the world, it's always fun to know kind of how things didn't go as scripted and didn't go as planned. And in many cases, you know, it's about creating those pieces of choreography and then realizing, oh my gosh, that just completely fell to pieces. So we want to know about some piece of choreography you did in your business that you put a lot of time, effort, choreographed into it, and then it all fell apart.
Look, I as you're saying, okay, I think maybe I should have prepped, but I try to flush those out in my memory. But this is recent. I was having a marketing coach. So this is like literally, was it this month or late last month, right? And I tried to do a webinar on a process that we're teaching, like a program. And I realized, you know, I teach too much. So there's this art to webinars and selling. And I realize I'm a good teacher, but I don't know how to make offers correctly. So, I don't know. I had 15 people on the call. I made an offer and friends of mine that were on it or watched me going, you seemed uncomfortable. Right. And, I finally just like, let me just say where I'm going to say, and let me get off this thing. Cause I was trying to make an offer and nobody bought anything. I did actually sell one after the fact. They called me back and, hey, right. I wanted to, and I'm working with this person now. So I guess it wasn't a loss, but I realized it's, you know, that whole thing. You see all these, you know, ClickFunnels things, whatever. And you see, okay, hey, just get a webinar and sell. That's a skill set. And right. I realized that I understand what's going on, but you really have to do it. I decided I need to keep doing it because I found activity produces knowledge, but it was a bit humbling, you know.
Well, how did you handle that situation? I mean, I think that for so many entrepreneurs out there, it's easy to just get beat down, right? You try so many things, and what do they say? You know, it's 100 no's to get a yes.
And yeah,
that takes its toll. So, how did you deal with that side of it on the back end to just be able to keep going?
Yeah, you know, what I look at is like, I just found out I know it works, but I don't know how to work it, right? So Myron Golden says, right, all work works, right? You know, you if you keep working, you become the person for whom it works, right? So I just, you know, so my philosophy is, listen, you can't break it. This wasn't how I make my money. It was something I was experimenting with my IP, right? Just intellectual property. So it's you just have to do it again, you know? So I just, you know, because the more you do it, the better you get. And my basic philosophy is activity produces knowledge. Knowledge doesn't produce activity. And so what people do is they give up. And you have to, like every time I think of a new talk I'm giving, I did one a couple of days ago. I wasn't really offering anything, but it was for another business owner community where I talk about why typical financial planning is bad for business owners. And it was awesome, you know? And it's maybe the second time I've given it. I remember the first time I was giving it live, like outside of my head, just reading it. We were all there speaking the words. And it was stuff. I'm pretty good at this stuff. This is pretty good. But I wasn't selling anything. So maybe I didn't have an offer. I wasn't trying to do it. I was just doing what a colleague of mine asked me to present. He wanted to talk, but it was a good practice. See, because what happens is you have to practice. But I prefer to practice in front of real people. You know, I'm too busy. I don't need to talk into a tape recorder and hear it back. And, you know, I'd rather practice on a live person because I wanted the feedback of, you know, how did it go? What did you think? What moved you? Right. And so that's to me what you got to do is you have to, similar to your background in dance, my background, I played basketball in college. And so when I was in middle school, I read George Gervin. So for y'all young people, that's Kevin Durant before Kevin Durant, he shot 600 shots a day. So guess what? You get your form right, and then you just got to do it right, you know. And so that's what I don't think people give themselves enough at bats or enough shots, and they don't practice, you know, until it's perfect, right? And it's not going to be perfect, and you're not going to be perfect out the gate. So that's my I'm not afraid to screw up. So
that's huge. That is so important, and that brings up the idea that, you know, we're talking about the choreography that fell apart, but it just, like you said, it takes practice. And I love that.
It's quote. Going to fall apart. You got to, it's going to. You're right. It's going to. You're not going to be, because I always tell people, I tell my kids this, before you can be good, you got to be bad.
Right.
First.
Right.
Right. And before you can be bad, you got to try. So that's how everything works. That's how life works, not just business.
Right. Well, and I love that quote from that you mentioned from Myron. I mean, he nailed it. All work works. It's just not how you think it's going to.
Right, exactly.
I love it. All right, let's jump into the next segment and we'll see how we can surprise you. Here we go. Current Events Choreo, exploring today's choreography, where we talk about the best piece of choreography in the news or current events. All right, Current Events Choreo. What is something you've seen in the news, in business today, something other people are doing that you looked at their business choreography that they're putting together somehow that you're thinking, man, that is cool. That is a really cool piece of business choreography.
Dude, that's all I do. I, you know, so, you know, swipe and deploy, right? So the, who was I? Cause I see it in everything. I see if one time I was in a hospital and I was looking at, okay, you know, all these doctors, they're just prospecting, right? They're right because they come in and they're like, all right, let me see you. And okay, when you get the discharge thing, it's like, okay, come see us, come key to physical therapist. And I'm looking at the business model of the hospital, right? So I'm like, how can I do that? Like, you know, he only saw me for like 8 minutes, right?
Right.
And it'll probably bill me for, I don't, you know, $300 or something like that. I was like, I like that model. Like, I, you know, I don't like paying for it or my section of it, but I like how that works. So I kind of see that in everything. So that was a thought I had. I'm trying to think of something very recent, current event. When I was first thinking about this, here's something I'm actually going to do a show on myself. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's got a Netflix special. That's out right now, right? So a lot of people don't know, because one of the things that I teach people is that success leaves clues,
right?
Okay. And Arnold, when he was a bodybuilder, when he came to the U.S., a lot of people don't know, he was buying real estate. You know, he was sleeping on people's couches. So he was a multimillionaire. By the time he decided he wanted to do acting, he didn't take little bit parts. He's like, I want to be like Clint Eastwood. I want to be a star. I'm not changing my name. No, I'm not whatever, because he was already a multimillionaire from real estate. So he was in, we call in our system, at a position of FU, where he could do what he wants. FU is passive income twice your expenses, right? So that's the first level. We want to get you to, at Practical Wealth, I want to get you to a level of FU when it comes to money. Right. And so he was at FU, so he didn't have to do it. He was already rich. And so I look at that. So I found I had a report on this. So I'm going to, I was just telling my assistant to look, well, let's put this into a creative landing page for this. I'm going to do a show on this, and we're going to give this away as an offer so we can,
right,
you know, do that. So that wasn't, but what sparked it was I was watching Arnold and I said, I forgot this. And I think I have some information on this. So let me dig this out the archives and then, you know, I'll send them to Netflix. So of course I can't get affiliate off of that, but you know, so you have to look at, you know, I call clues in the news that will, that you can tie into, you know, to what you're doing, because what a lot of people don't know, even as a financial person, I'll train other people and I'll tell every business, even though I spoke to some other financial advisors in Cincinnati a couple months ago, and I said, y'all in the marketing business. I don't care what business you think you're in, Passover Church, you're in the marketing business, right?
Right.
And I think that a lot of people don't know what business they're in. They think they're in the business of selling whatever they're selling, but you have to be a marketer of what you do, not a doer of what you do.
Right. I love that. Okay. We're going to jump into the next segment. This one will catch you. Here we go. I love that. This is one of my favorites.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Choreo Crap, exposing the bad choreo, where we expose the worst pieces of choreography that have been purchased. Okay. So crap business choreography. We've all been there. We've all bought stuff from the guru that said this was going to solve our problem or whatever. We've bought and purchased things for our business that were supposed to be the answer. They were supposed to be that piece of choreography that did it all, and it just didn't work out. We want to hear about it. You don't have to relinquish their names if you don't want to. But we definitely want to hear about some of the crap that you've purchased, because we've all done it.
And I've been purchasing expensive crap, you know. And let me try to think. I was in a $2,500 a month. Two of them, actually. One was like $600 a month, $2,500 a month, executive
right
thing. And I was like, you know, these aren't my people, really, you know. And it's great to have, I don't need to pay, you know, $1,700 a month to have new friends, right? So unfortunately I stayed, because let me stay in here. And, you know, I stayed beyond the 3 months where I could got my money back. So I had to, you know, I had to go ahead and tell them I cancel it and pay for it. But it's one of the things that I've realized in that. It was another one that was even more than that. And it was good, but it was all virtual. I was very busy because my marketing works. So I don't have time to be on on all these webinars and stuff during the day. And it was, if I would say it, you would know who it was. And I think it was fantastic, but it was, I need to get away. I don't need webinar stuff. Like, I need to, you want me to do something, you need to get me out of the house to your thing. Or either I got to leave the house to watch the online thing. If I'm here, I'm going to work, right? So it was a lot of money, and the content was good. Before I quit, I did download all the PDFs so I could at least go back and look at it. But I found that, you know, because one of the things is this is what I realized for me. It's not what I don't know, is what I'm not doing with what I already know.
Right.
And I think that, you know, a lot of stuff, and a lot of people are think some guru is going to sprinkle some magic pixie dust, and you're just all of a sudden you're going to spend your last dollar, not pay your electric bill, go to this conference, and now you're going to come back, you know, on Pegasus and take over the world. You're not, you know, and that's bad business. That's bad money management. That's bad. You know, I've seen some people do that in network marketing. Oh, I got to go to this convention. I'm going to come back. And now, okay, you didn't pay your electric bill. You didn't pay. Now you're 2 months behind and you still don't have it, because you have to work. I mean, it's no magic stuff someone's going to say to you, I believe, where you're going to come back and just, oh, it's the thing, because you're looking for the thing. You have to work.
Right. Right.
And you're not working. So it's nobody, you know, the motivation is internal.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's hard to think, right? I mean, it's it, these marketers and sales people are getting better and better at talking their game and sharing what it is that they have. And like you said, in many cases, it actually is good, but the missing element is that work that you mentioned.
Right.
It's that piece where even if they gave you the magic thing that was going to sprinkle dust on your stuff and work, you still have to work. and that's the piece that
there, I think. And there, you know, there's levels to it. I had a client that went to a well-known like real estate guru type thing, right? Sure. And so the first one was $1,500. And he said, well, what do you think about this? Well, you know, you got 9 or 10 properties already. All right. You know, you can't learn less. You should go to that. You can network. You can do whatever. And then I think the upsell was maybe 5. I was like, all right, well, you're making money. Maybe that. And then his dumbass bought the $30,000 one. So he used up all his working capital. Oh, well, you know, they'll finance with you. They'll do this and that. Yes, but you don't have any money now. Okay. Right. And so you got to take what you invested, because it's an investment, I believe. And because I've done that kind of stuff, but I've always made more money.
Right.
And so then I use the new money to invest. If I'm going to go to the next level, whatever, I need to have made money with the first level, not expecting that I need to do the new level because that's the solution. No, you need to work with what I've always done is when I've invested in stuff, my wife doesn't even like, well, whatever. I'm thinking about this $25,000 coaching program, but she see my income go up by 6 figures every time I come back from one of these things.
Right.
All right. Well, you know, so you gotta, guys and gals, you gotta prove that it works. Like you can't talk a good thing. You have to bring home the check.
Right. Right.
So if you want to stay married, that is, you know, if you're married.
I love it. All right. Here we go. Let's jump into the good stuff here. We'll go into the next segment. Choreo Confidential, the secret sauce, where we talk about insider secrets that make businesses dance to success. All right. The secret sauce. Here's what we get in. We want to hear you know, you're doing all sorts of things to make the world a better place. And I can see that, and we can tell that looking from the outside. I want to hear about what's going on behind the scenes and how you're helping people and how you're bringing your knowledge and expertise to light. We kind of want to know a little bit about the behind the scenes of what kind of stuff you're building that's making it work. Because on one end, we might need you. And on the other end, we kind of want to see and hear what you're doing to make that all happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, what I do, I work with, tell me if this is not the way you want me to go down, but basically I work with the people that generally find me are people that want work optional income. So I work in the financial space. I'm kind of, my nickname is a contrarian. I'm kind of like the wealth outside of Wall Street guy, right?
Right.
And so I'm not, I think typical. So here's the major thing for your listeners. Typical financial advice, buy and hold. I call it the accumulation theory. Buy and hold, dollar cost average, get out of debt, you know, buying SEP IRAs, giving your money to Wall Street. That is bad advice for business owners.
Right.
Okay. I mean, it's completely bad because it's like, I think you have two engines. You got an engine. The engine that drives your life is the business. Okay.
Right.
So your number one asset is you. This is the type of things I try to get our people to kind of reframe their thinking. Your number one asset is you. So you got to invest your mindset, your skill set, and your network, right? Your number one investment is the business, right? Your business, right? So it's not sending your money to some fund manager you never met that you don't know who's managing the fund. You don't know what mutual funds are in the fund, but you've been told by the Wall Street that you should put your money into this thing. Right. But here are my three rules of investing. Invest in what you know. Invest in what you can control or influence the outcome of. And don't chase returns. Right. So I know practical wealth. I know how to teach. So I'm working on like doing that and then teaching We're working on a class to teach financial professional people, and I'm looking for people that were me 5 years ago, for example. And what have I learned? It really works for all businesses. Sure. And, you know, so how do you grow your revenue? And also, how do you control the money? See, because what I talk about money, most too many people are looking for investments outside of them. But the investment, best investment is in what, like if you put a dollar in your business, you make $2.
Right.
That's 100% return.
Right.
Why would you give that to some fund manager to hopefully get 5 or 6, 7% with risk, where you can't control whether it goes up or down? And see, so you don't, you discount, and you see most of your listeners, they already know that, but everybody, so if you're hanging around employees, you can't do what they do. They have a different life. They have a different tax structure, right? And so if you have uncommon income, you can't take common advice. So I teach people to one, think, right? And then there's a, we call it the velocity method. Right. Sure. And so the velocity, so there's accumulation theory, buy and hold, dollar cost average, get out of debt, buy term, investor difference, max out your 401k. You're in it for the long haul. If you build a nest egg, retirement nest egg. If you're hearing all that, you're listening to the accumulation theory. Okay. Right. It's theory for a reason because it doesn't work. All right. And then, but if you study institutions and you study wealthy people like the millionaire next door, it's like, what do they focus on? From Garrett Gunnar's book, he calls it corporate finance, right? So in corporate finance, what do they focus on? Velocity of money, which is not investment, it's just an economic principle of money moving. They focus right. on buying assets. What's an asset, Kiyosaki says, to something that puts money in your pocket. So you've got to buy or build assets that generate cash flow. So your business is the engine to build that and maybe build a business that works so you don't have to work, but it also generates money so that you can buy other assets because you want to become financially independent of the business, you know, because too many people think they're going to get this big exit, but you've got this engine that, you know, you take your profits, we do the profits. So if you look at rich people, they build businesses, they buy real estate with the profits. So it zeros out their taxes, right? They buy, so it's four asset classes: business, real estate, paper, and commodities, right? But let's just right. take the top three. I call it the ugly cash flow triangle: business, real estate, paper. And so when you look at that, so they'll buy real estate, and there's 15, 20 different ways to buy real estate. You know, paper. Paper is not just equities. Paper is tax liens. Paper is, I got clients that do private lending. We've got clients that buy mortgage notes, you know. So all I try to do is teach them how money works. I teach five principles of personal finance. So basically what I want you to do is think, save money, develop access to capital, know the difference between an asset and a liability. Okay. And then all I want to do is have you have capital. So when you see something you like, you can go get it. Right. Because investing is about becoming. See, it's not my job to tell you what to become. I'm the defensive coordinator. I always tell you, coming up on you know, smart manage, right? Or in football season, always football season in Philadelphia. I'm from Philadelphia, right? So we always
right. Talking, right,
right. So I'm defense, right? Defense is saving. Defense is protection, asset protection, insurances, all the people stuff people skip because they're so preoccupied with the money. Defense is legacy, making sure you build a legacy of wealth and wisdom. Defense is liquidity, having 6 to 12 months of liquidity, and then investing or velocity is last. Like it's important, but it's if like those I've named five things, investing is number five. It ain't number one.
Right.
And most people think it is. And so you have to protect, because see, good, nobody, last time I checked, has a working, this is the kind of stuff that we teach. Nobody, I don't have a working crystal ball. I don't know anybody else. I don't have a working crystal ball. So I don't know about investing. But what you can do and what your good planning is preparation for stuff going sideways.
Right.
Right. And because that's all you can do. And then you have principles that you follow. And then if you follow the principles, you'll win. Right. If you do the right stuff, success is inevitable. And then you'll win because you got to win when markets are up. You got to win when markets are down. You got to win when markets are sideways. And so you just stay on you build your business. Your business is going to be up. Your business is going to be down. But guess what? If you understand you're in the marketing business and you build up a war chest, a nest egg. So when if it's slow, you can survive. If things are going well, you can expand. Things are going well or slow, and your competitors haven't prepared, you can buy them.
Right.
And grow through expansion, right? And so you're not, I'm a big fan of Jay Abraham. He's got a book called Getting Everything You Want or Everything You Got. And right. He one time he had this, of course now I can't call it, but he's got three ways to grow revenue, right? Get more customers. I changed it a little bit. I call it get more customers, increase your conversions, and increase customer value. How? Right. By raising your prices, frequency, cross-selling. And then let me see if I find my journal. Then I was listening to him on a podcast. See, so this talk about stealing stuff. he has three advanced ways to grow. That he talks about. He says every year, add one new product or niche.
Right.
Right. Introduce a new product or service to what you're offering every year and acquire one new business a year, a competitor or a complementary business. And purchase with seller financing. So that's brilliant. I mean, we're not even thinking about stuff like that, like to grow your revenue. And so to me, that's part of your financial planning. Like I look at that as a financial planning, business growth. But if I view your number one asset as the business, then you've got to look at the business. Okay, here are the little levers I can pull to get more money out of it. So we try to help people choreograph. There you go. Thank you. Just integrating their, you got to keep the money that you're making. You got to make more money.
Right.
And so my practice focuses on is integrating those two things, like integrating that your financial plan so that you have liquidity to serve getting money back over to the engine instead of tying it up in an account for 30 years. And right. I'm one of the few people that can say, hey, look, let's have an integration plan. Let's look at the three ways to grow your revenue without spending any new money on advertising. Let's look for ways to, because the other thing, most people chase investments, but there's actually more money in minimizing the losses in your financial life than there's trying to pick winners. See, most people are giving away $3 million, because they're overpaying taxes, basically it's five key things: how you pay your mortgages, taxes, how you fund retirement plans, how you pay for like kids' education, equipment financing, and other major capital purchases. So one of the things I teach as a strategy is be in the bank, but so you can recapture how to, be your own banker. But part of it is you got to recognize that, okay, I've got leaks in my bottom of my bucket, this money bucket I'm trying to fill up. Right. And so to me, there's more opportunity to plug those holes than it is trying to turn up the volume of the water, chase returns. Let's stop giving money away. If you pay a tax you didn't have to pay, not only is that money gone, the money that it could have became for you if you had it to invest in your business is gone forever. And that's, people don't look at opportunity cost in personal finance, but that is literally costing you as a business owner, if you're hearing this, $2-3 million in your working lifetime.
Right.
So let's keep that, and let's build on that, but let's not give money away. And it's so simple. It's not like you don't need to, 2 + 2 = 4. Like financials is not that complicated. And, but you would be led to believe that they are, but it's not. So you are your best financial person. So that's kind of, I consider myself a financial educator. I mean, I implement, but I'm the guide. Like I tell people, it's your money. Right. You're Luke. I'm Yoda. Right. I'm just on this call, I'm letting you know that the force exists.
Okay? Right. Exactly.
Right. I'm letting you know, here are the ways of the force, but you still have to learn how to market and, to become a Jedi. You still have to go through the trials to become a Jedi to get to financial independence or wherever it is you're trying to get to. But, and then you need guides like us to help you get there, to train. But that's what I try to do. I'm the guide. I'm not the hero of the story. You are. But I know some stuff probably you don't know. And I'll tell you both things I know.
Nice. I love that. Well, this has been awesome. Super fun. I want to ask if you can leave us with some sage words of wisdom before we let you go.
I'll give you. So one of my favorite books is The Richest Man in Babylon.
Love it.
And because I really, when I talk about, I teach principles-based planning, principles that, you know, so one is part of all, you got to stamp on your brain, part of all you earn is yours to keep.
Right.
Okay. One of the ways to do that, like from a technical standpoint, is read profit first and learn to pay yourself first every time you get a check. Okay. But you got to, that's a philosophy, because your business will eat up all the money you give it if you let it sit in there. Right. Yes. So you got to sweep. I do 15% at least off the top into my profit account, into my, I call it my wealth capture account. So that's one. And then you got to spend less than you make. Like if you can't do that, you can't invest. If you don't have any savings, you can't invest because you don't have any money to invest. You're, you know, and so what people have been trained to invest from income, I want you to save money in your asset column and then use your assets to buy or build real assets that send you a check. So if you pay yourself first off the top, that will change your life. Create a separate account. We call a wealth capture account, and just sweep money into that and 15% and live on the other 85%. And if you never see me again, that would change. I have people call me up. Yeah, I listened to you in the show and I did that. And I looked up, I had $4,000 saved up. I was like,
That would be amazing, right? I love it. Well, that's great. I appreciate that. And great words of wisdom. Of course, you can find how to get connected and get into the world of Curtis May just by looking in the description. You'll see everything you need there. We'll have some links there for you to go and follow and learn more about what Curtis is up to. We know he can help you. And I think that'll be awesome. Remember, business choreography is what makes up your show. You might have a one-man band, a crazy circus, a finely tuned ceremony, but no matter what, if it's working, there's choreography behind it. And if it's not, there probably isn't. So remember, it's your show. And if you don't choreograph it, it's going to suck. So we'll see you guys on the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for joining us today.
Want more business choreography?
Check out our website at bizchoreo.com to find out more.
And find out how the choreography for your marketing, operations, and sales can raise your revenue and create more impact.
Remember, every business needs choreography.